This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is FM 2.0, Forever Music, and the Don's Hit List. Heard in Manchester, UK on Saturdays. We're excited to speak with the great Mick. How are Mick of Europe? How you doing, Mick?
Hi. How are you guys?
Wonderful, great. Man. Yeah. You know, your keyboards are so iconic. When you think of rock music, especially, you know, the time frame that Europe came to be in prominence, keyboards weren't really a thing. Did you feel that, like, that whole uniqueness you were bringing to the music scene at that point? Because they're so iconic, your keyboards.
Yeah, I don't think I realized at the time that it was really special, at least in the kind of music that we play and played. It didn't really fit. But then Joey came up with the idea for the Final Countdown, and that really sort of changed things.
So do you have the sense now of how iconic your keyboards are?
I mean, probably Final not. Countdown, you know, as soon as you hear the ding, ding, you yeah. know what you got. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really goes down well live, too. You know?
Yeah, that must have been. I mean, it's amazing the staying power of songs. Like, we talked to bands like Exile with their song Kiss You All Over. We had them on last night. And as of 2023, that song is still popular. Final Countdown is still everywhere this many years yeah. later. It's just amazing and a testament.
Let me ask you, I'm curious. Do you think, like, when you think about bands like Dream Theater, as they would come out in the late 80s into the 90s, and then let's, you know, fast forward several more years to somebody like Muse, where the keyboard really would end up becoming a prominent voice within the rock. Do you feel like, you know, you were really the inspiration for that?
No, I don't look at it that way, really. I mean, you have to ask those guys. It's if they feel that's the way it is, but I don't think about it that way, you know. I really don't.
Okay.
But well, maybe I should.
Well,
I don't know.
That's just you're being yeah. humble and that's your humility speaking. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's very commendable. I want to say this too. I think the two things that really stuck out to me as a co-writer too, you know, there's your keyboards and then what you've contributed. That song Carrie, which, you know, we yeah. talk about Final Countdown, but from that album, Carrie went everywhere. Do you remember coming up with that song, like that moment, that writing that song with Joey?
Yeah, I do, because we were rehearsing for a tour, and this was probably a year before we started recording the Final Countdown album. And we were rehearsing it. I was just fiddling around on the keyboards between songs. And so Joey said, "What's that?" And I was, "I don't know. I'm just playing some. You play it again," he said. And then we had like an embryo for the song Carrie that we actually played live, and it sounded a bit different. It didn't have the big chorus or anything back then. It was just a sort of a thing we just put in the set to you know, have a little calm. It was just played only with Joey and myself on keyboard. So it was just a thing that happened in the rehearsal studio.
Wow. Stormy, do you remember blasting that song from your stereo?
Yes. I've done TikToks with that song too.
Oh, you've done TikToks with it even today. That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that's still a regular. I mean, I was playing it not too long ago and half played it. My daughters will confirm that.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
And then the yeah. other one on the follow-up album, which was of all the Europe collection back then, that album really meant a lot to me. I wore it out, and I think that More Than Meets the Eye, which you co-wrote on that as well, is another song that I still listen to today.
Yeah, me too. I have to say, that's one of the songs that I really can go back and listen to. I think it's a fantastic song.
It really,
I really do.
It really is. I mean, even the way it starts, like, dun, 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 dun. Your keyboard set the tone for that song. right in the beginning. Yeah. And man, what a song. You're here also because... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I think Key Marcello, who plays guitar on that record, I think he does a fantastic guitar solo on that song. Oh. It's just one of his absolutely best ones.
Well, I'll tell you, my favorite song from that album was the one called, where'd I pull it up here? Because I made a note for myself about it. It was that song, Just the Beginning. And that song, because you talk about the guitars in that song, that one still, it's an inspirational song. And I know you don't play it in your set list, but it's just one of those that from that album, since I had you here, you know, you played it back then, and it's such a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I agree.
You're out here promoting. You've got a new album coming out soon, don't you?
Yeah, we're kind of lazy when it comes to writing new songs. So we released one song just to do something. It was Joey's song, and we all loved the song, so we said let's just put it out. And the plan is to record some more songs in the spring next year.
Oh, excellent! Well, Hold Your Head Up is the song that's out right now.
Yeah.
And much like I was talking about Just the Beginning, which is very inspirational, Hold Your Head Up is the same thing. It's a song we need right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even through Walk the Earth, I mean, there was a lot of the songs on there had just a great message in them.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. That song is also one of those songs that we just love playing, and the audience seem to love it too. So it works really good live too.
Oh my goodness, does it ever. I want to see some. Can you guys tell me if you hear this? I want to see if you hear it. Just tell me if you hear it. Do you hear that?
I don't.
No.
Damn.
It's probably something in your head.
No. I was playing a clip of the song. For some reason, it won't play through the Google anymore. It used to. I had clips lined up of the songs when we talk about them, but I figured it wasn't working. But, you know, you mentioned Walk the Earth, the title track also of that song, of that album. Yeah. You co-wrote that one as well, and it's so good.
Yeah, and you know the way we came up with it, Joe and I, prior to or when we finally get our asses off the chair and start writing songs, Joe and I usually go to our rehearsal studio, just him and me. He sits down by the drums with a microphone, and I play keyboards, and we record. We just jam and record stuff, and then we listen back to it, and most of it is just forget. I mean, just forget it. But some of the stuff really works, and this is one of those jams with Joe and myself that we did, where this idea that do 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 that thing came up during one of those jams that we had.
Wow, I gotta love jams. You're also working on a documentary, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. There's probably coming out in next year, beginning of next year, I would believe.
It's basically talking about the formation of your band, Europe, right? And then the rise of success.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says Hard Times and Heartache. So were there real time? Was it at the height of success where did you struggle a little bit with things? Or was it when... the 80s waned and the 90s came. Where do you think, kind of give us a little backstory on the documentary, what we expect there?
Oh, it's basically going from the start of the band, or before the band was even called Europe, sort of following us all the way through the years. And there's interviews with also band members that are not in the band anymore. There might be some interview with a former manager that we hate. You know, we'll try to try to get every side of the story, you know?
You know, it's you say that. I'm actually working on a piece right now that literally is about the stories of managers and the things they've done with their bands. So I guess Europe's going to become part of that piece too.
Yeah, Motley's gone through some management issues too. Woo!
Yeah.
Didn't they manage you too, Nick? It was Doc McGee. Were you part of that?
No, we weren't. Oh, no. Okay. So this, yeah, sorry, you go. Go ahead.
So something I'm curious about, probably have to back into this question. So I had seen this band called Wings of Steel. They're spending time in LA, but they're Swedish, and I did a piece on it before they flew back over to Sweden, and I shared it with Eddie Trunk. I was like, "Hey, have you checked out this band? What do you think about them?" And he's like, "Oh, they're great, but you know, there's this sound still remained very relevant and strong in Sweden. There's a lot of metal bands of the sound." So now let's rewind the clock. When we came out of the 80s into the 90s and grunge, you know, took over, we're all aware of the stories and the impact that had on a lot of the bands. Was that primarily a U.S. thing? I mean, did the sound remain strong and relevant throughout Europe? Because from talking with Eddie, there's still just a strong growth in the sound, in the bands that really never ended. Is that true?
I'm not sure about that, because the grunge, I think it was the same thing in Europe, but, you know, the... How can I put this? You know, things that were popular back whenever seem to, you know, a few years later, it all comes back and people start coming back to it. And I think that's what happened. And I mean, we had a, I don't know, a 12-year coffee break there from 92 until 2004. And that was, partly because the music scene changed, and we didn't have as much fun as we used to have, that's probably why.
In Sweden? So that was true even in Sweden.
Sorry, what was that?
That was true even in Sweden.
Yeah, I'd say it was. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
In my opinion, it was a really sad time when grunge came in. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, I guess I like some of that stuff, you know, but it wasn't our thing to do, really.
Right. I did get succumbed to it. But the funny thing is though, it's not like I disbanded my 80s bands, the bands that I loved, like a Firehouse that was coming out at the end of the 80s. I was still loving the music, Europe's music, along with grunge. So I never really disbanded the two. I think just the record industry went, we're going to silence the rock and focus on this. Whereas fans, we could have done both. I loved both.
Well, Don, in the Ronnie James Dio documentary, that's what Eddie Trunk had said, that one day his station manager came in with a cardboard box, dumped all the CDs, and said, "You're not playing these anymore, you're playing this." Yeah. And handed him a Nirvana CD.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Oh, darn it. Well, I was still supporting Europe during that time. So just so you know, Mick, we were still blasting your music.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, again, you're in London tonight as part of the Time Capsule Tour, 40th anniversary of the band. It's 40th anniversary of the band?
Yeah, well, it's basically an anniversary because the first album, the first Europe album was released 40 years ago. So that's a 40th anniversary thing. And then we thought we'd do a time capsule and sort of check out songs from all the from all albums, basically. Right. And we also have everyone in the band has a short moment where they sort of just talk to the audience, you know.
Yeah, I saw that on the set list.
Share a story.
Well, you do. Let me tell you something too. That instrumental you have called Vasastan? Is that how it's called? Vasastan? Yeah. Did I say that right?
Yeah, Vasastan.
Vasastan. See, I've been saying it wrong all these years. I needed Mick to tell me. Vasastan. That is one of the most incredible instrumentals between you and, is it Key? is that who's playing the, or no, who's playing the guitar there in that song?
John Norum.
Right. It is gorgeous. Yeah. The way you layer your keyboards underneath and his guitar is floating. Many comments said it was very Gary Moore like.
I mean, Gary is a big inspiration for John. I know that for a fact. Yeah.
I'm just curious, and I don't even know if you could admit to this if it is the case, but have you ever sat in on any of the ghost shows as one of the Nameless Ghouls?
If I have what?
As a keyboardist, because I know that Ghost uses named musicians, generally, though, anonymously, because they're in their full costume getup. And I was wondering if you were ever on the keys on one of their shows.
No, never, unfortunately.
Okay.
I truly love the band and the doing, but no, I don't even know who's playing the keyboard for the band.
That's the whole thing about them, is that, so in the studio, Matthias does a lot of the record. I think he does all the recordings, but then when they go do the shows, they pull in these guest musicians, but it's all anonymous. So that's what I mean. Even if you did, I don't know if you'd be able to admit to it. So that's the big secret.
Yeah, I guess it is. I think they, on the latest record, they had a drummer and a guitar player who plays all the guitars. And then when they go on tour, they have a total different bands.
Yeah.
Wow. I know we're at the 15 minutes, but I wanted to add one other thing here. On this tour, I think one of the unique things you're doing is that Joey and John, is it John? They come out with their acoustics and they do Space Oddity.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I watched them perform that. Do you ever, like, off stage watch them, like, listen to that? Because my goodness, they do that so good.
Yeah. It's really good. And it's one of those songs that we all, and especially Joey and John, were massive Bowie fans. So it's part of the storytelling from these 40 years. They used to jam on that song years before they even formed the band. So it's also a sort of a document from the Europe story, so to speak. See? Time capsule.
So all of those, you in Europe, when you go to see Europe, you get to live a little Bowie experience, because the way they come in and just go, ground control, the Major Tom. It's so...
Yeah.
It's so good. So again, did anyone else have anything for Mick before he goes? Well, basically,
I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you.
Have a great show, Mick.
Have a great show, Mick.
Okay, thank you so much. It was really nice talking to you guys.
Absolutely. You too. Thank you. Be safe.
Okay, you too.
Bye, Mick.
Bye.
Bye, Mick.
Bye, Mick.
Cheers.
Cheers.